from LA. Reggie.
Hi, I'm Reggie White. I'm an alcoholic. And I want to thank Lori for having us out here this evening, and thank all of you for being so friendly, you know, before the meeting. I want to apologize in advance to the interpreter because I have to have a lot to say and a little time to say it in. I'm going to talk fast. I know in these days that there are a lot of youngsters. Oh, by the way, welcome to our new friends. You know, welcome. You're the reason that we're here. Thank you for coming, and thank you for allowing me to maybe talk to you just a little bit tonight. And also, welcome to any of our new friends who didn't stand up, especially those, because I've been that guy, you know, and especially our used newcomers. You know, not, you know, I'd welcome the new ones, but also welcome the used ones. because I'm that guy, you know, and that's who I'm really talking to tonight. I'm a guy who had a really good life coming up. You know, I'm not one of those guys who will say that I had such a hard time. Yeah, we were poor, that's okay. But we were high achievers. I come up with a family of six boys and a mom who raised us by herself because the alcoholic father had to leave. With that alcoholic father, he had Ripple bottles all over the house, and I grew up saying, I'll never drink. I'll never be an alcoholic, you know. We were high achievers. I have to get through this part fast. We were really high achievers. My brothers and I, we came up reading and playing ball, playing baseball. That's what I loved to do. As long as I could remember, that's what I was doing. I went through school. I didn't do anything. I got skipped up some because I was so smart. But when that happened, then all of a sudden I got a little socially awkward, you know. So, in other words, what I'm trying to say is I hated the cool guys, you know, because they knew how to talk to the women and I didn't. You know, and I was a little younger, a little smaller, a lot lighter than right now. and until I went to college, you know, that's how everything went until I went to college. When I went to college, I grew up. I discovered alcohol. I started drinking. And I learned if I shared those drinks, I could be really popular. So there were no more awkward social situations. All I had to do was say, would you like to have a drink? You know, and then I became popular with everybody. I needed that, though. I really needed that. I needed the alcohol. I needed the other things that I had to go along with it. I know this is AA, so I'm not going to mention most of them, except for maybe the non-addictive marijuana. and there were other things. My brothers and I were real tight. We did everything together. We had big circles of friends. And life was good. You know, I was always successful. I have no complaints. It wasn't because of a broken home. It wasn't because I wasn't popular. I was popular. I was always student body president. I played sports. I was smart. I had good grades. And at that time, I started even having women. You know, I remember when I came out of college, my brothers and I started doing a few other things and I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. No, I can't really say it. But let's put it to you like this. I started being that guy who walked the streets at night. I started being the guy who walked the streets late at night, and I'm looking for... okay, I look for a friendly crackhead, a kindly crackhead who would help me out. And if not, I would look for, I would be one of those guys. I always had faith, though, you know, because I would be the guy who, you know, you women know me. I'm the guy who was with you, and then we'd be out there, and then you guys would say, oh, I'm going to just go make this move. You sit on the bus stop and wait for me, and I'd sit there. Be 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. But I had faith, you know. Eventually, all of my, you'll hear a lot of, if you don't like what you hear now, you'll hear something better when my brother comes up after the break. And you'll hear a lot of this. What happened is, things were good until they got bad. You know, I've always been a guy who could always make money, you know, so I was always functional. You know, and I was always functional, even no matter what I was doing. But then things got out of hand, and I was no longer functional. I could no longer maintain my whole household, and I had to move back in my mom's house, and I discovered that also all my brothers had as well. So once we were all in there and basically almost killing her, at some point, two of them disappeared. You know, and this was around 1986. And when the two of them disappeared, I ran into one, my brother Ronald. I ran into him in Hollywood, and he was looking good. And he told me, come on, let's go have lunch. And we went and had lunch, and he pulled out a wad of 20s to pay for it, pay for the meal. And I hadn't seen him in years have a wad of 20s and be sober. You know, and I didn't know he was sober then. I didn't know what sober was. I'd never heard of this. And all I knew was, okay, all I knew was, that he was looking good and I wanted to do well as well. He told me that if I ever wanted help to come, that he could help me get sober. I ended up going to Harbor Light Center in downtown L.A. In downtown L.A., I got sober. Things went really well, really fast. In February of 1987, I got sober. Two of my brothers got sober in 86, another one in December of 87. Life got really good really fast for me, much faster than for the rest of my brothers. I ended up with a six-figure job working for a guy named Eli Broad, a billionaire. I got a family. With this family came, I had a stepson, a built-in family. Life was really good. I loved the fact that I had integrity and self-respect again. Those were the main things. I was even paying all my bills on time, and I didn't wait till they got pink. I didn't pay partials. I paid the whole bill. I used to love that, paying the whole bill. And some of you in here may know what kind of pride that's like. Anyway, and then things got better. I had a little girl. I didn't think I could have any kids. You know, I've been playing Russian roulette for years. And finally, I had a little girl. And see, all my life, all I wanted to have was a family. You know, I wanted to have that family, you know, because we had six boys and just my mom. I wanted to have a family where we had our own home. We had all the money we needed. I was working the steps. I was taking panels to prisons. I was being secretary of meetings. I had sponsees. I had a sponsor. We have a big book workshop that we were going to. I was traveling all over the world, and I was working in Atlanta at that time and going back and forth and doing other things. And then the unthinkable happened. I told my friend Paul here earlier today about a trap door that opened under me, and that's what he had to look out for in sobriety. And that trap door opened up from under me. My little girl got sick, and she suffered badly, and then she died. And that little girl was my heart, and I felt that I let her down, and I withdrew from this fellowship. All of you guys tried to come talk to me and save me. Myself and my wife, who was in the fellowship, we couldn't hear you. I couldn't hear her. I couldn't hear my son. I took everything on, and I didn't even think that my brothers were suffering too, and my mom and everyone else, and all I could think of was me. And everything in this program just left me. And I know people in this program that walk through things like this, but I wasn't that guy. I wasn't that guy. When my baby left me, I cursed God. I said, fuck you, God. You got to talk to me. You got to tell me why you killed my daughter. Why you let my daughter die? Because I prayed and I begged you and I did everything you wanted me to do. And you just let her die. And I didn't get loaded. It took me 11 months. I used to say that I got loaded because she died, but it took me 11 months of isolating after that, and then I finally went and had a drink. I didn't go back to what I did before. I had a drink. You know, and after I had that drink, then she walked by me, and I looked at her, and she gave me that look, and I said, do you get high? And I was off and running. And 2 weeks later, on the anniversary of my daughter's death, I tried to commit suicide. I took a bunch of pills. And the second worst thing to my daughter dying was me waking up and seeing my brothers and my mom and my family all around me and my friends. And I was humiliated and I was ashamed. And I couldn't make it back here to you guys. It took me 17 years to make it back. It took 17 years. When I tell you I was a used newcomer, I was really used. And I'm a miracle. When I finally made it back for good, one of the things I love to tell you that it was a thing where I thought to myself, some phrase out of the big book like burn the idea in the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anything or anyone. The only conditions are he trusts in God and clean house. That wasn't the case. My girlfriend stole my mom's car again. You know, and I had nowhere to go. I had been thinking those things like that phrase. I've been thinking them all the time, but just like I thought everybody had given up on me, I almost gave up on myself. You know, but what I did is I went into rehab. And I went into this rehab and I started doing things like only the dying can. Not like the dying can, like the dead can. You know, that fire was on me. And what I did is I threw myself into these steps. I went through all the steps and I didn't stop at 5, you know, like by giving it away. I didn't stop at 8 or stop at 9. I've gone through all the steps. I encourage any one of you new people to do that. Get a sponsor. Work the steps. Reach your hand out to somebody new. Thank God that you guys were here waiting for me. Thank God that you weren't. Because, see, my problem is I'm thinking of what you think about me the whole time. And I had that humiliation on me and the thought of my brothers all having 30 years and I'm supposed to have 30 years like them. No, I don't. It took till June 24th of 2017 for me to make it back here. And when I came back, my sponsor told me to keep my, he said, raise your head up, Reggie. Don't look at the ground. You're one of God's kids. Get back in this work. Do everything that you did the first time around. And I've done that. I've worked the steps. I have sponsees. I go to the Big Book Workshop and talk to people all the time. I hit meetings everywhere. Most importantly, I pray. Most importantly, I pray. Because I understand that the less I look at me and the more I look at you, try to help you, then God got me. He's got me. And when the trap door is open, you know, I know you guys are there to catch me. You're there to catch me. One of the things I realized that I look at is everything was going so well for me that maybe I got a little complacent. I did everything I was supposed to do, but God is good no matter what. I realized that God didn't kill my little girl. A doctor gave her bad medication. God did not save her. God saved me. You know, bad things are going to happen. And as long as I keep my hand in AA and keep my other hand in God's, then everything will be okay. And as long as I look out for you guys, and don't worry about me, God got me. Thank you for letting me share.